you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near.
Reading from Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Mark 1, 35. I'm doing that, Marianne, because on Friday we did the old nav. You cite the reference, you cite the scripture, you cite the reference. So
very
it helps
official
with memorization. A couple people said, hey, really like that. So that was Mark 1:35, a great verse for us all. Maybe some of you woke up very early while it was still dark and prayed. We recommend it. And if you missed it, then take opportunity at lunchtime or even now before you go out to work or tonight before you go to sleep. There's no law that you can't overpray. In fact, we're supposed to pray without ceasing with that spirit of that mentality that at any time we can pray and petition God. But as we talked about, Marianne, and we both have kindred spirits with this, before you begin praying, or I guess this is an aspect of prayer, but begin by worshiping before you make your laundry list of requests or petitions. God understands you're in a hurry and you might need to make some quick, we're praying over Tasha, you know, Lord, meet these people's needs, whatever. But enter into a time of worship before you really say much.
And it's a good start to the week.
Prayers will go better. Yes. So this verse is great. Very early in the morning, that could be 3 and 4 and 5 a.m. I mean, that's very early in the morning while it was still dark. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Mark 1:35. And we're going to talk about and read this again as we're in chapter 5 of our beloved book, Prayer of the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. Marianne joins me. Some of you have asked, now who's Marianne? You know, I'm new to the radio ministry. And or some have said, you don't introduce her enough.
Aww,
so Marianne
nice.
Is our lead editor, editor-in-chief of the Prime Life Times publication, our beloved publication. She initially began by volunteering with the radio ministry and like Karen and like others became so valuable, we figured out how can we hire you and use your gifts and talents to the Lord's glory. And you came on board a little over 5 years ago. It was at Marketplace Mall where we kind of met up and you were helping when
6 years.
6 years ago now. It's like with Jason. What is it? 8 or 9, 10, I think 11.
That's right.
Now.
That's right.
So time sure flies when you're having fun.
Does.
But you were helping when we had that 1,000 people gathering, getting gifts and coupons, and we had those gift boxes for everyone.
Yeah, right.
That was one of those first things that you were assigned to assist with, one of the many caps that you've worn these many years.
True.
Spend a lot of time with the Prime Life Times, help host some of the radio programs. You'll hear Marianne's voice with public service announcements or radio announcements during holidays or other special features. And today, like many Mondays and Tuesdays and many Wednesdays, she's a part of Mark and Friends. So she doesn't have her own program yet, but who knows, maybe down the road, we don't know, another cap onto her head.
And by the way, you're listening to Mark and Friends, and it is Monday, August 29th, right?
Yeah, to the glory of God.
You haven't
magnify
said your thing.
The Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, August 29th, 2022. Woohoo!
Got the year right.
Got the year right, got the date right, got the day right. I'm still thinking about this verse about waking up early. Last Friday, So last Friday, we had Big Mike of This Is Ish Furniture. He was the guest speaker for the Pinnacle Monthly Gathering. And I think we're going to be meeting here once a month.
Oh, wow.
They really enjoyed it formally for the last number of years. They met at the Champaign Country Club.
Oh.
We were a lot cheaper. Free is always a good price. And I thought it's great to have all these high-capacity leaders and area businessmen and various pastors and such gather. So we had our first gathering here. There was a bunch of us in here, and we had a little breakfast and coffee. Yo-Yos, our friend Darwin Boston from Muhammad, brought in Yo-Yo's coffee for everyone.
Oh, I thought you meant Yo-Yos, like the old Yo-Yos.
Oh, yeah. That's the name of his, like, I used to work so hard
at that when I was little.
Of doing a Yo-Yo?
Yeah.
Do kids even have Yo-Yos?
I don't know what they got.
Yeah. But anyways, we had a great gathering, and so Big Mike was the featured speaker, and he brought his brother Johnny. So Lord willing, we'll have Johnny on tomorrow for Testimony Tuesday. I got to talk to him afterwards, and Big Mike's got his fingers in a lot of different things.
And
He's fun to listen to, isn't he? He started Shop with a Policeman or something, where younger kids are matched up with a police officer.
That's interesting. And they go out and buy
some things, and it's a way of building some community and understanding. And well, anyways, we'll have Mike on to talk a little about that and some of the connections he's making locally.
We're getting kind of a lot of these once-a-month things scheduled.
Yes, I know. And this Thursday night, we're going to have another gathering of this special group of people that are passionate in their relationship with Jesus but want to see God at work in our community. And so we met 4 weeks ago. There's about 16 of us, and wonderful time of prayer and worship. And then 2 weeks ago, a real great diverse group of people. There's, I think, 21 of us. And what I loved about it, when I say diversity, because I always feel like we should represent God's kingdom in its fullness. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the rare occasions. Now, you understand my heart in this, but there were finally like less Caucasians. I think there was 11 or 10 of us that were white, Caucasian, and like 11 or 12 different nationalities. And I love that. It was just so wonderful. And so I just pray God continues to bring people together to his glory. And we'll worship again Thursday night, 7, done by 8:30. And our desire is to worship God, to build community, learn better ways of loving on each other and understanding each other, and then seeking where God may lead something that's beyond one individual or beyond one church, where the community, the churches, would have to rally together. So some kind of vision that's beyond us. And so we're just seeking God for that. And there's a stirring in a number of people's hearts. And even Big Mike was talking about some of the things he sees happening, and some other pastors were talking about this group is initiating here, and these people are helping those that are underserved and different groups that are trying to attend to these needs. Mm-hmm. And I thought, God is stirring something up in this area.
So that's great. We're just going to pray that through. You've got the once-a-month ministry network
Thursday morning. So a double hitter for some people that day. So, yeah, we're excited about that. I think it's going to be the biggest turnout we've had so far. We usually average 25 to 30 pastors and ministry leaders. And I think a number of people have already confirmed that they're coming. And
that's great.
The special speaker this month, Lord willing, unless his wife delivers that day, is David Hatter. He's the new pastor at the First Church of the Nazarene of Champaign, or Champaign First Church of the Nazarene. Wow. He replaced Juan Laredo, who was our former board chair. But he's a great guy. He and I are going to start playing racquetball together.
Okay.
So I've been sending him photos and kidding back and forth, because he's not only a pastor, but I think he's an official that officiates at the Big Ten football games and does a number of other things.
That's
interesting. He's a real neat individual. He was on the U.S. bobsled team for the Winter Olympics some years ago.
Bobsled looks really scary.
Yeah, well, he trained for all that. I mean, to make the Olympics, you're a top athlete.
Cool runnings,
And so we've connected, and we're challenging each other to get more fit and some
other
things.
Please tell me you're not going to take up bobsled.
No. Racquetball.
I didn't want to hear that coming next.
No. but you know my tendency. I get all
in
on something.
That's why I said that.
Ping pong, I was all in for
a
while.
I'm aware of that.
I'm back to feeling convicted that I need to get back into shape and play some racquetball. And so
it's great conviction.
Friday was the first time I started treadmilling. And
treadmilling? That's
yeah,
not
I
a
was
word.
Doing the treadmill. I just created. I started getting on the treadmill and treadmilling.
I got to remember
and,
that.
And doing some running and exercising. And then last
Friday.
No,
those Friday, are words.
Yeah. Then last Friday, I was on the court again, hitting the ball, just practicing.
It's always good to hit it when you're on the court.
Yeah, yeah. And knowing that I can hopefully start playing in about a month, because it's been so long since I've hit and hit with a regular basis.
That is such a nicer way than saying I'm out of shape. I got to remember that. It's yeah, been so long since I've hit the ball.
I was going to say.
It's been so long since I've been in the pool.
Yeah, that's right. So I thought, okay, this is good enough. I've stretched out. You know, I got some rhythm, my routine back. I saw
rhythm.
Dave Krehbiel and some of the old racquetball players that I'd played with for 10, 15 years. Charlie, I don't even know Charlie's last name. He used to work at WILL. And Ed, he lives in Monticello. And Kathy, some of our listeners might be familiar. She was with the fitness center years ago. Stellar female racquetball player, a star player. Anyways, they said, come on, Mark, you got to play. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm out of shape. And anyways, we played. It was very fun. We played two matches, two doubles. Dave Krehbiel was my partner, and we won both games.
Nice guy.
So, yeah, very good guy.
In about 1 minute, listeners are going to think they have tuned into the sports station.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I do have this. I'm already forewarning them they're going to start hearing about racquetball. So
okay, yeah.
I won't overdo it. So
well, we did the ping pong era.
Yeah, that was, and that might come back one of these days too. But anyways, it's Monday. We love to talk about prayer. And we have our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. And so last week, I think I soloed from home. I think you were on the deadlines for the Prime Life Times publication.
Yeah, so I was, definitely.
Those will be arriving later today and delivered to our 400 stops. And we're always looking for volunteers to assist. So if you can help deliver the Prime Life Times publication in your area, we'd love to talk with you and get you all set up. But yeah, that'll be arriving today. And as mentioned, tomorrow, I think that's my only note, Johnny Namoff, he's the brother of Big Mike. He'll be my Testimony Tuesday guest.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Marianne, for joining me and being a part of today's broadcast. So what do we have here? Practical spiritual stewardship?
Practice. Practice spiritual stewardship.
Which is very practical.
Yes, it is. Yes, it certainly is. Okay. In his 40 years as leader, Moses certainly dealt with a plethora of predicaments. Oh, that's cool. Plethora of predicaments and a ton of troubles.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
There's a, what's that called? Onomatopoeia? Yeah, something like that. I struggle to fathom trying to lead a million whiny spiritual babies through a desert for even 1 year. I cannot imagine what it had been like to feel a level of responsibility for their physical, material, and spiritual needs for 40 years.
Mm. I was going to say 1 year. Gosh, how about a week? You'd be exhausted.
It's hard for me to comprehend the weight of setting up a new nation from that motley, messy multitude.
Oh, jeez.
He's really doing this.
Yes.
Of slaves, poor Moses. As you read Exodus and Numbers, note the number of recorded times when the entire nation, like spoiled babies, rose up on their heels and complained to Moses and about Moses. Mm-hmm. Seemingly, they leaped from one complaining crisis to another. Exodus 16:2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Exodus 17:2. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Numbers 11:4. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. Numbers 14:2. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Numbers 11:1. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused.
I'm thinking nothing new under the sun.
I know.
Grumblers, us moaners.
I don't know what it is about that scripture, but it just puts the fear of something in me. They complained about their hardship in the hearing of the Lord, and his anger was okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to get myself
aroused.
Straightened up here.
Yeah.
Poor Moses, think about it. His people were so incredibly frustrating, they even tried the Lord's patience. Yes, every leader deals with problems. The bigger issue is how will you deal with them? All of the effective leaders described in this book, and especially Moses, were skilled at high-level problem-solving. Moses, as much as any other leader, was gifted at approaching his problems with prayer stewardship. What that means is this. Instead of carrying the problems around on his own shoulders, he repeatedly took his problems with God's people back to God. This powerful leadership principle of prayerful stewardship is seen frequently in the story of Moses leading the people through the wilderness. For example, see Exodus 17:4, Numbers 11:13 and 14. But the entire concept is succinctly summarized at the end of Moses' prayer in Exodus 33, when he said, "Remember that this nation is your people." Verse 13, your people. Too many good leaders burn out or wear out under the immense weight of spiritual leadership. Moses' solution to burnout was prayerful stewardship. Wisely, he did not carry the burdens on his own shoulders. He took the problems of God's people back to God in prayer. I've learned that even though it's rarely the only solution, prayer can always be part of the solution to a difficult problem. For me, the more and better I pray, the less I worry. Okay, I'm going to go on and read the next section. Turn problems into prayer. 800 miles away from his homeland, working for a non-believer, Nehemiah heard the heart-rending news. Jerusalem lay in ruin and reproach. Even though he had risen to a lofty position of professional prestige, he had a tender heart toward God and the people of God. The negative news stirred his emotions and touched his heart. He wept, he mourned, he fasted, but he did not stop there. He also prayed. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah 1:4. Nehemiah turned problems into prayer. The next seven verses contain one of the loftiest yet most powerful prayers recorded in the entire Bible. It is really. But I believe that even more important than what he prayed was that he prayed, and that he prayed before he did anything else.
Read that again, and this is one of those alert everyone, be attentive. This is for all of us.
Yeah.
This is a great biblical truth, a reality that should be practiced, understood, and shared with others.
I believe that even more important than what he prayed was that he prayed, and that he prayed before he did anything else. Everything else in the book of Nehemiah was born out of that prayer. Even though God's leaders tend to be men and women of action, the first response of high-impact leaders is prayer. Whenever he faced a crisis, Nehemiah first faced it on his knees. When the evil Sanballat tried to intimidate Nehemiah and his people, Nehemiah turned it into a prayer and went back to work. 4:1-9. When his enemies tried to trick and dishearten him, Nehemiah prayed for strength. 6:1-9. When they sent another man to attempt to discourage him and get him to flee for his life, he refused, prayed, and finished the work. 6:10-15.
I like this implied principle too. I mean, prayer is great. It's important.
It sure is.
It's fundamental. It's necessary.
Right.
But then, and he finished the work. Then took action.
That's right.
So after you pray, take action.
Of course, it's best to pray before problems are even in the horizon, but often that's not possible. Therefore, leaders must learn that when troubles do arrive, to pray, pray first, and pray until you either know what to do next or have peace that God has it all under control. Like Moses before him, Nehemiah took his troubles to God. Effective spiritual leaders turn their problems into prayer. They also turn their pressures into prayer. And that's the name of his short section, Turn Pressures into Prayer. In the Gospels, there are 15 accounts of Jesus praying. 11 are found in Luke's Gospel. Why? The answer is that of the four Gospel writers, Luke focused most on the human aspect of Jesus. Of course, Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. Luke wanted us to see that as a human leader, Jesus lived a life of prayer. Since Jesus the human needed to pray, how much more do you and I?
Amen.
And I think we have enough time before we close out, Mark. I'm just going to read the rest of this part. Jesus dealt with daily pressures in his daily prayer time. As we studied in chapter 2, Jesus turned the daily pressures of high-octane ministry into daily morning prayer. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Mark 1:35. Please note that Jesus did not simply enjoy a pleasant early morning time of prayer and then go back to bed. Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus used his morning season of prayer as the launching pad for another full day of ministry. Quote, Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages." I love that. "So I can preach there also. That's why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Mark 1:36 through 39. In reflecting on what this daily prayer time meant to Jesus, S.D. Gordon observed, "Prayer wonderfully clears the vision, steadies the nerves, defines duty, stiffens the purpose, sweetens and strengthens the spirit. The busier the day for him, the more surely must the morning appointment be kept, and an even earlier start made, apparently."
I can't remember if it was 2 weeks ago, but somewhere in the past few readings, there was that example of one of those great prayers of old where when he saw how busy his day was and how intense it would be and how many things he had to attend to, he'd wake up earlier just to pray. Or he would say, "I have to pray more." So he'd pray for 2 or 3 or 4 hours where you would think, "Hey, get to the work. Right, you got to attend to things." No, that means
that.
You
pray
needed more.
More
prayer.
I have to take exception to one small thing. It'll just take me a minute, but I have to say, he says, "Don't get up and pray and then go back to bed." I do that. I sometimes wake up at 5 o'clock and pray, and then I go back to bed for at like 6 for like 30 minutes.
Yeah. My favorite times of prayer is between 2 and 3 a.m. That's a pattern. I wake up, I worship. I love it. And I pray just for a little while. It could only be 3 or 4 minutes because I have my system of praying certain letters.
Yeah.
And I never finish it. So it always puts me right back to sleep. Aww. I'm thinking part of it is Satan doesn't want me up praying, so he's going to help me go back to sleep.
I used to have a friend, sweet, sweet, amazing woman. She's like, "He don't want me sick, and he don't want me in the hospital. He don't want me up at night, nothing, because I just pray."
Yeah. And if prayer is good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me.
Yes, that old time, you betcha.
Good enough for you. Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. I highly recommend this book. We do have copies for $10. You can't get it any cheaper anywhere else at our two locations here at Marketplace Mall in Champaign or at our WLUJ Family of Stations studio, 600 West Mason Street in Springfield. Stop by, say hi, purchase your book, and read along with us on Mondays. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.